Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I don't know how many new things I'm going to say from this set of scripture, but it's so fascinating to me and so powerful to me that I may just do this for the next several months and just say the same thing every day. Amen. Because that's one of the ways I process, is I think out loud. And so when I verbalize things, it sort of gets down inside of me even more. It makes my mind like this. Again, remember what Jesus said in the last verse of chapter 1. And the chapter divisions aren't inspired. Those were all man-made. So this is all one flowing context, one flowing conversation. And he says to Nathanael, truly, truly. And so whenever Jesus says truly, truly, he means it's a big deal. Pay attention. It's foundational. Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So Jesus was saying here, and I, whenever I've thought about this statement, I've always heard it and therefore kind of regurgitated it in terms of, if you long to live in a life of signs and wonders and you pray for an open heaven, because usually charismatics talk about an open heaven in a meeting or a service like a portal. That's a famous word too that charismatics have made famous, that there's like this portal, and there's an open heaven, and miraculous things kind of happen. Well, that's certainly true to that, but that's not what Jesus is saying. It's more than that. It's bigger than that. It's just the fact that this relationship with God, this relationship with the Father by the Spirit in Christ is opened up to us in Him, that we all live under an open heaven. That can include signs and wonders, but it's just this open flowing, heaven moving on us, moving from us to heaven, just this thing happening. This is supernatural reality because you're in Christ. He's the open heaven, and He's your open heaven. And that's everywhere you go. So the open heaven is not just that there's miraculous activity which you can steward and give away to others. It also is just this, the conversation that we have. You know, this face-to-face relationship we have. You've been seated in the heavenly places, in that place of intimacy, fellowship, and authority with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because you're in Christ. And so just that whole thing that we do isn't because we earn it, isn't because we deserve it, isn't because we work for it. It's because Christ is our open heaven.
Amen.
What you do doesn't create an open heaven. How much you pray doesn't create an open heaven. How much you fast doesn't create an open heaven. Jesus is your open heaven. And then all those things happen in the context of that. So when Jesus shows up, the context here is not coincidental. This is a miraculous book. And so when Jesus goes up to Jerusalem to worship at the most important time of worship, the Passover, and he walks into the temple, which he refers to as the Father's house, the place where you encounter God the Father, the place where God and man meet, where mankind worships and interacts, has the visitation, gets that kind of open heaven thing, was the temple. But when Jesus got there, as we mentioned, so I'm repeating myself, and I'll probably do it again tomorrow, just to create a context to share with you the particular thing I want to see here today. When he gets there are these people, the Pharisees and money changers, and they're selling people sacrificial animals. Because again, you were supposed to bring the best, cleanest, most unblemished animal you could, whether it was oxen if you were wealthy, or you were less wealthy, a lamb, or if you were really poor, a pigeon or dove, bring the best one you had. But no matter how good it wasn't good enough. And the Jews would flunk them, say, that's failed the test. But boy, have we got one for you. We got a deal for you today. Because it was already costing them so much to give what they were going to give. But now you got to do more. And if you'll do more, pay more, we'll give you the perfect oxen, perfect lamb, perfect pigeon. And then your sacrifice, your offering to God will be acceptable. And you can have encounter. Then you can have real worship. Then you and God can meet. Jesus said, He's our open heaven. And all that's based on performance. So one of the things, here's what I want you to hear, so important. Everybody listen. What was going on? There was business going on, money being exchanged, all the kind of stuff. So think about the church and the body of Christ and what we see a lot out there and what you see a lot on Christian television. God help us from Christian television. The business of sin consciousness had taken over the mindset of religion until Jesus arrived. Do you understand what I just said to you? People don't realize that well-meaning ministers promote a sin consciousness because it keeps the business going. If I can make you feel guilty, you'll give more. I one time heard somebody say, and I, you know what? This isn't a criticism of the person. I'm not going to mention the name. I don't even know the name. God, their intentions were well-meaning, and where they're, if they were, they weren't well-meaning, they started there. There's a place there that Jesus celebrates and loves them fiercely. But they were promising a certain number of people that if you would give so much money, God will bless you, and he will bless your finances. But the amazing thing is that where you needed to do the money was to sow into their ministry. That's the business of sin consciousness. Because what does that do? Okay, if I don't give, then God's not going to bless me. That's sin consciousness. But if I do give, then I've worked my way out of that and I've performed enough where God will bless me. Is it true that when we sow, God blesses? Yes. But the church, just like the Jews, get so into this manipulation. We do that with people like, well, if you don't do this, you don't serve here, you don't do that, you don't come to church enough, you don't whatever, you don't pray enough, you don't fast enough, you don't witness enough, yada, yada, yada. And when we do that, we're promoting sin consciousness because we're telling people you need to count. How many things you've done good as opposed to how many things you've done bad. And if you've done more good as opposed to bad, you'll get blessed. You can have intimacy with God, but you got to keep the ledger over here on the good stuff more. Jesus is our open heaven. He's your relationship with God. It's in him that we meet with God. Do you see this? Jesus came in to destroy a sin consciousness, the business of sin consciousness. Because our fellowship with God, our intimacy with God, our communion with him is in Christ. It's in Christ. Jesus is both God and your humanity. And they come together in intimate fellowship in his person. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's too late. He's already earned it and deserved it for you. It's in a person, not in a system. Can you see the business of sin consciousness? Some poor person comes and offers a dove, their pigeon, like Mary and Joseph. And the Pharisees say, well, that animal's not clean enough. And you go, that's all I have. And say, well, but if you could come up with a few more, then we got one for you. Well, what if you don't? Then God's not going to accept your sacrifice. There's no way you're going to have a consciousness free to commune with him, to meet with him. You didn't meet the standard. You didn't meet the requirement. Do you all see that, how that happens all the time in church? What does it say about Jesus is quoting in that verse 52 that he's the open heaven. Angels of the sin descend upon him. Remember again, Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder thing. Jacob had the dream, behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. He had a vision of Jesus. Jesus appeared in the form of a ladder. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. The activity of God, the activity of heaven, move in Jesus, on Jesus, and you're in Christ, therefore it's yours. And he says, surely the Lord's in this place. I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit because you're in union with Christ. Because you're in Christ, you're the union of the Holy, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. This one more scripture, then we'll stop. This is so liberating to me.
Amen.
It should be liberating to you.
Amen.
See, now you don't have to fast. You get to.
Amen.
If that communion with Him provokes something in you that says, wow, I want to block everything out and just discover more.
Amen.
But you're not earning anything.
Amen.
You're not trying to get more. You got it all in Christ. Remember the woman at the well? And she says in verse 20, she's a Samaritan. They didn't worship in Jerusalem. They worshiped in Samaria. She said, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Remember, Jesus is just there. He went up to Jerusalem to the Passover. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. Jesus, when he cleansed the temple, was saying, this whole system is going down.
Yeah.
It's a system that promotes performance. And therefore, when you promote performance and sin consciousness, you promote separation, believing that somehow you're separated from God because you didn't do enough. He says, you worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know. For salvation comes through the Jews, but an hour is coming, and now is. What's the now is? Him. And now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. That happens in Christ. Jesus is saying, the word worship comes from two words. One's face-to-face, the other one is participate in. This face-to-face participation with God is not happening in Jerusalem, it's not happening in Samaria, it happens in me. I'm the place where man meets God. I'm your open heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together.